This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
All right, top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris Walton. And, of course, Ada County Commissioner Rick Visser joins us. This morning, we're going to talk about a variety of things. Let's kick it off with the Greenbelt. It's funny that, you know, we talk about these major tragedies, major floods, major hurricanes, how long it takes to get stuff fixed from them.
Yeah,
it's going to be a while before the Greenbelt is all the way up to snuff.
Yes, sir. We've got that section of the Greenbelt in East Boise off of Shakespeare Way near Warm Springs Avenue that goes all the way out to Diversion Dam, and it's being rebuilt. People that are familiar with that area will know that it was a walkway Greenbelt area that had suffered wear and tear over the years and was a risk to the community. So I'm glad we're going forward with that.
It's going to be closed starting this coming Wednesday.
That's right. And then it'll stay closed for this project until July 22nd of 2018. That's our estimated completion date. But it'll be well posted, and we're also putting in turnarounds so that if people come up to the spot where it will be closed, they'll be able to easily turn around and get out of that place for a little while. But we're asking cooperation from the public to obey all signs out in that area.
What's it ultimately going to create?
It's going to create a much wider and safer green belt. For approximately 1.5 miles, the width will be expanded to 11 feet, and the penitentiary canal that parallels and runs alongside of the green belt out there will be covered, so it will be much safer.
And the county's been working on, you know, some reason or some way to do this for quite some time, right?
We have. This has been an ongoing project and concern for Ada County for approximately 10 years, and we've had some hurdles to clear with regulations and requirements from the Boise Board of Control on what type of culvert and pipes we had to put in for the project. So it's taken a while, but we're glad that we're going forward with it.
There's been some erosion and things over time.
Erosion, blacktop breaking down where we had to patch it, and it's just too narrow for two-way traffic.
And people will be able to follow the updates as you move along, right?
You bet we will. We have an active Ada County Parks and Waterways Facebook. They'll be posting things. Our public information officer, Kate McGuire, will be posting things. And the public can be up to date and aware of what's going on with this big project.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's going to be terrific. I mean, well, you know, next summer.
Yep. I can't wait to go on it next summer because this summer it was piecemeal where
Come
we could
gone.
Go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about things continuing on this fall. November 7th is Election Day.
Yes, sir. It's an odd year, 2017. We see major candidates out there for governor and Congress, but this election is for city council members, mm-hmm. for fire districts, and also irrigation board members. November 7th is the date of the election. However, voters can go in early, beginning October 23rd. That's this next Monday. And for that week and the following week, they'll be able to vote at Boise City Hall, Meridian City Hall, and the Ada County Elections Office.
Now tell us about the mobile voting trailer.
Yes, that's a big thing, and we're very happy that the clerk's office and elections has gone forward with this. They move it around. We keep it in the news and on our social media where it's going to be located. People can find information there. They can they're out of the cold, and it's a great way to help out the turnout for voters in Ada County.
We need to check traffic one last time. We're going to do that, and we're going to come back and talk about driver's license changes and Expo Idaho and Memorial Stadium, among other topics.
Sounds good.
Hi. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Talking with Ada County Commissioner Rick Visser this morning about a number of things. The Department of Motor Vehicles moved out of the building at 400 Benjamin Lane to Franklin Road, creating more space for driver's licenses. Anybody who's gotten a driver's license in the last 10 years knows how crowded that was. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, Paul Jay, you've hit the nail right on the head with that. A lot of complaints have come in from residents in the area about more or less horror stories about how long they've had to wait there.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Ada County got proactive in this. DMV and driver's license are actual separate entities. And the county has different DMV locations throughout the county. However, moving out employees over to the new location on Franklin, just east of Maple Grove, has just been very, very helpful. In addition, we've added an extra hour. We're opening a half hour earlier and staying open a half hour later to help the public flow through the DMV. And we hope that this helps the sheriff's office and the state of Idaho manage the driver's license situation better.
And it looks like the only rule is if you're renewing your driver's license, you can get there when you want. But if you're taking the written test, you have to be there by 4 p.m.
Yes, that's right, Chris. We want to point that out to the public. Again, focus on the written test. Generally, that's for younger drivers, first-time drivers, and then older drivers like myself that require a written test and an eye test. Again, you need to be there by 4 p.m. to take that test and get it completed.
And adding six clerks for a total of 21.
Yes, sir. It's a great location out there. You go into a big lobby. Right away, you see the setup with the counter and all our clerks in there. And we can move people through there very efficiently. Very efficiently. So it's a great win-win for Ada County and DMV.
And tell us about the new appointment system, too.
I will do that. We're going to have an online-based appointment system. Again, go to our webpage where people can sign up, get information on it, pick out a time, and show up at that time, and you're already in the system. You don't have to grab a number and wait. So that's a big plus.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Memorial Stadium and Expo Idaho and possible moves there.
Right. It's been in the news recently about a new stadium in downtown Boise, and that does sound like an exciting adventure, but there is some resistance to it, and we don't know if it'll go through. The reality of the situation is that the Boise Hawks do have a long-term lease with us. That's for another 21 years. And we will continue to operate Memorial Stadium as usual with other functions that we have out there. There's also been some input from citizens, very few, about the fair location. But we're deeply invested in that property, and we get very good returns out there.
There have been a lot of upgrades at Expo Idaho.
Yes, there have. Our fair manager, Bob Batista, is one of the top fair managers in the country. And it's a pleasure to work with somebody that's so enthusiastic in this industry. And he's done a great job. He brought in some big-name entertainment again this year, and we had record crowds going on and on.
Now, there's a small faction that would like to see Expo Idaho be downtown Eagle, downtown Garden City, excuse me. So this is a small faction of Garden City.
It is, yeah, residents.
Garden City residents, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right on that, Paul J. We have gotten a few letters coming in, a few emails, not very many, but we just want more people to know both sides of the story, because yeah. that has gotten out into the news about people complaining about it. We've done all those upgrades. We have...
it looks great.
Oh, it does.
It's sensational.
I did my last or the prior video presentation from out there, and it was a beautiful day. We had great turnouts, and it's a big moneymaker. What's interesting about Expo Idaho is the operation is what's called an enterprise fund, which means it's self-supporting, and no taxpayer money goes there. What they bring in is what they can spend. And again, Bob Batista has done a terrific job in his purchases and in developing things. One thing on the horizon is a sky ride that he's working on bringing in that'll go right up to Hawk Stadium and over the whole fairgrounds.
Wow. I'm kind of afraid of heights, so I'm thinking.
Could be, but...
watch that from the safety of the ground.
Yeah, right. Now, there are a couple of positions open on the Ada County Planning and Zoning Commission.
That's right, Chris, and that's a very important commission because they're a screening commission before matters come up before the Ada County Board of Commissioners. We have two positions open right now. They are volunteer positions, and they are for 3 years. The Planning and Zoning Commission for Ada County meets twice per month on Thursday evenings. And it's a 7-member board, and it ensures responsible development within Ada County that conforms with our ordinances.
Now, Commissioner, we have just about 1 minute left, but I wanted to get to this about youth homelessness. Tell us what's been going on.
Well, youth homelessness, I had not heard of that phrase in my whole life until just a few months ago. And Ada County got involved with an organization out of Chicago, and along with the Idaho Policy Institute at BSU, there were some surveys done, and we found out some staggering statistics. 16% of the people out there are young people, and they've been in foster care. Some have been incarcerated. Some have been juveniles. 20% of the youth homeless are females that are either pregnant or a parent already.
Wow. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that study and what will be done in Ada County. Rick Visser, Commissioner, thank you very much for joining us this morning on KBOI.
As always, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you, Chris and Paul J.
Thanks,
and
Rick.
I look forward to coming back the next time.
All right.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:06. Welcome back.
Got kind of a weird statistic for you.
Yeah, I actually thought about this story a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't realize that it was as lopsided as it is.
In the year 2016, which was last year, nobody was killed on a motorcycle in this area.
In the city of Boise, right?
Boise
area.
In Boise, in Boise. But in 2016, nobody was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Okay.
And in 2017, so far, in the 9.5 or so months, 8 people have been killed in motorcycle accidents in Boise.
Wow.
Now, in 2016, there were 2 people killed in car accidents. And so far this year, there have been 2 people killed in car accidents in Boise. And in 2016, there were 4 pedestrians killed. So far this year, it's been 3.
Close.
Very, very similar. Mm-hmm. Bicyclists in 2016, 1 was killed. In 2017, 1 has been killed. Mm-hmm. But motorcycles, it went from 0 to 8.
And I noticed that the number of fatals is incredible.
Well, total fatalities in 2017 from then... motor vehicle causes or accidents of some sort.
Sure.
In 2017, we've had 14 deaths in Boise. All of last year, there were seven, so it's doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's interesting.
It's all motorcycles.
It's interesting, too, that, I mean, so many more people drive cars than motorcycles.
Yep.
But there have been 8 deaths in motorcycle accidents in Boise and just 2 car accident deaths from people who were inside the car. 4 times as many.
Well, you'd think somebody would be looking.
Well, I'm just curious about it. Are motorcyclists doing something different than they used to? You used to ride a motorcycle.
I rode a motorcycle for over 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
the reason I quit was a couple of close calls and the fact that the traffic got so bad that, we used to go to Stanley for lunch. We'd get off here at 10 o'clock, Lon and I'd fire up our motorcycles, go to Stanley for lunch, and then come back. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah. But, I mean, that sounds pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get some calls on this, though. Okay, tell me this. If you're in traffic right now, I mean, don't call. But if you are somebody who frequently drives, maybe you drive for a living, maybe you just drive a lot in the city of Boise, or even if you ride a motorcycle in the city of Boise, is this something different that motorcyclists are doing this year, or is it something that motorists are doing? That cars, trucks, and whatnot, are they not paying attention to motorcycles in some way? Our local number is 208-336-3700. 208-336-3700. It's just a strange thing that in 2016 there were no deaths whatsoever in the city of Boise from motorcycle accidents. And this year so far there have been 8. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. So, in the Boise Guardian,
it says that Boise Police Department Captain Ron Winiger, himself a former motorcycle cop, heads up the patrol division and offered this caution: while driving is such a familiar action for most adults, you can never take it for granted. We all need to make an effort to focus only on driving when we get behind the wheel. And, of course, they start telling you that when you're learning to drive. You know, don't get distracted. Put the devices down. We didn't have to learn about devices, I don't think, when, you know, nobody had a phone when we were learning to drive, obviously. Follow the speed limit and rules of the road. If alcohol has been part of your day or night, he says, make sure you get a ride from someone who hasn't been drinking. We want to make sure everyone gets home safely to their loved ones. But that doesn't really address why necessarily this is going on.
All right, let's go to the phones, find out what you think. Let's go to Dave of Boise. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey.
What do you think?
Well, so this is something that's a little close to me because through the summer, I live out between 5 Mile and Cloverdale off of Eustick. And since they've widened that road, almost on a nightly basis, we have crotch rocket races that just come. I can sit, my computer office is upstairs, my window's open, and I can count the gears that these guys go through starting at 5 Mile. By the time they come past where I live, I mean, these guys are doing 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
And we have a morning patrol. I've talked with the local police, the cycle patrols out here in the mornings, and I've talked to them several times. It happens mostly in the evening, but because it's turned into a racetrack out here, I just fear, you know, somebody's going to die.
What, now, which road are they racing on? Is it Cloverdale?
No, it's on Eustick.
Oh, on Eustick. Okay.
Yeah, Eustick.
But between 5 Mile and Cloverdale.
Yeah. All right. You know, it's basically a 5-lane freeway now out here.
Well, yeah, it was widened. I mean, it was narrow for quite a long time.
Correct.
And widened just over the last 2 or 3 years.
Correct. And it is. It's scary. These guys, you know, we'll get 2 bikes going, and I mean, they'll go anywhere. You know, it's an estimate. Obviously, I don't know, but,
sure,
you know, counting through the gears, these guys have to be doing 100 to 130 racing out here at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I mean, a cat come across the street or, you know, who knows? They're going to be either they're going to be down on the road or somebody pulls out. I mean, it's just going to be ugly.
Yeah, you have very little margin for error.
Yeah, it's just not, you know, they're young guys probably. They think they're bulletproof and going to live forever, I guess.
Well, yeah, and as one who drove a motorcycle sometimes pretty fast.
Well, you said one time.
There's very little margin.
I asked you what was the biggest problem you ever had on your motorcycle, and you said just once. You were going somewhere like up to Idaho City or something, and you either came around a bend or up over a rise or something, and there was a rock right in the middle of where you were, mm-hmm. and you almost couldn't avoid it.
Yeah.
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 And you've got, unlike a vehicle, I mean, you have no protection, basically.
There's no protection.
What you've got on.
The thing you have in your favor is you can get through a narrow opening, there's no protection. And I'll also go into Idaho City once. That one school bus stopped there, roaring along about 75 miles an hour. Come around the curve, and there's a school bus turning left. Hello.
Right. Yeah, so my request, I guess, out there is, and I just talked the other day to one of the police officers, and he said it's happening all over town. Then mm-hmm. because I was asking if we could have an increased patrol out here because it's really getting kind of bad. And so my request to riders out there is, you know, think beyond yourself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you want to put yourself at risk, that's one thing, which is stupid, but think beyond yourself and realize how many people could be affected by the decision you make.
Well, no question.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you checking in. KBOY News Time is 9:15. Our number, 208-336-3700. More calls after this.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Leave your friends behind, because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find, and we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind.
It's 9:20, Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Thursday.
Our rewards code for today is safety.
Safety. Get it? Safety. Get it? Get it? All right. Safety. S-A-F-E-T-Y. Safety. All right. Let's get to the phones. William of Garden City. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This subject about the motorcycle, I, you know, go back to one of my loves of all time. I had a motorcycle that I rode every day. I would ride it year-round. As long as the roads were clear.
Me too.
And so what's happening with motorcycles nowadays is it's multiple. You got people that still have that old adage, you know, motorcycles aren't seen being seen. You got people driving cars with more distractions with cell phones and everything. And you also have a lot of younger riders out there that are doing things that are dangerous out there. They're speeding, they're weaving in and out of the traffic, they're not making themselves as visible as possible by staying under the blind spots of cars, and they're not wearing helmets, they're not wearing safety gear when they're riding a bike. So it's a multifold issue of why we're having so much now. But, when you're out there on a motorcycle, you are in defensive driving the whole time. You have to protect yourself because you have nothing else to protect you.
That's true. That's true.
And up until 4 years ago, I was riding, and I had someone pull out of a side street thinking they had an opening to make a turn to the left, and I broadsided them because I couldn't stop in time. And I was in the number one lane. The number two lane had another vehicle in it. And they come off the street thinking the other car was, you know, the other car was going to be turning into the same street they were coming from. And so they thought they had an opening and didn't see me.
Have you ridden since?
Yeah, the wife says no.
No, and I understand that. I had a friend of mine, Ron Hurley, who was killed in a motorcycle accident out by Avamore, out in that area, and that stopped me dead.
I still love to ride the motorcycle, and, you know, if you take all the precautions you can, but you still, you cannot, just like you get in a car, you can't drive the other car, person's vehicle. So if they're not going to drive their vehicle properly, you can't do nothing about that.
Yeah, and Hurley got hit because they were watching somebody rope, and they weren't even looking at the road.
Yeah.
And he geared all the way down, and you could see him coming right at him. And knew that sooner or later they'd see him at turn, and they didn't.
I remember that. That was sad.
Yeah, it was really sad. Yeah. Bill, thanks for the call.
Stop.
Let's go to Brian of Boise. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to kind of reflect back on what the other guy said, too. I drive a sports car, and I drive down State Street where it's four-lane. The majority of the time, that's one of my corridors I travel, and it seems like every time a motorcycle pulls up, they want to race. And
yeah.
I mean, they just, I think it's a lack of respect for the road at this point for some of the, especially some of the younger drivers, and then, like you said, weaving in and out of traffic, and
I would wonder, too, how long a lot of these guys have been riding motorcycles, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they take off like it's almost not under control.
Yeah, it takes a while.
At some point. And the motorcycles have gotten, I mean, I had a 1965 Triumph Bonneville. You know, back in the day, that was a fast bike.
Yep.
Today, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Comparatively speaking, yeah. You know, you get the 1100 R's and a rider who's jumped on that for a couple of months and decides to get on it, the odds are they're not going to make it through that.
True.
So I don't know if it's necessarily the car is not watching out for them as much as, you know, when you're doing 75, 80 miles an hour down State Street on a motorcycle and a car decides to change lanes, they're not expecting to have to look in their mirror that quickly for someone coming up.
Yeah, that far back.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I mean, you're covering a lot of ground in a short amount of time, and, you know, as you know, on State Street, everybody's moving in and out to try and make the turns.
Exactly.
And I think it's almost a confidence, overconfidence issue.
Yeah, I think maybe you're right, overconfidence and just people who don't understand how to ride a motorcycle. Brian,
Triumph.
Thanks for the call.
Triumphs were cool. 926.
They vibrated a lot.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. It's 936. Let's go to the phones. And Ralph. Ralph, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad for an old fella.
Ah, good.
A friend of mine was a career Marine and owned a Harley, drove it around town here, stopped for a traffic light one day, I think it was on Fairview, and the brakes come screeching up behind him, and this old lady just narrowly missed him.
Wow.
She let her window down, she says, "Where's your red flag you're supposed to be on the back of that bike?"
Right.
And he sold it. He said, "That was too close, and that was a message."
Yeah.
He sold his Harley.
Wow. Is that a rule I don't know about, or is that not a rule?
There's no.
Now, I know if you have lumber sticking out the back of your pickup truck, you have to have a red flag.
Well, kids have red flags on their bicycles sometimes. He was hardly a kid.
Yeah. Whoa.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Ralph.
Instant message from Dave of Boise.
That's like one of your messages from God.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're not cut out to be a motorcycle rider.
Dave of Boise says, "I have been riding my motorcycles for 40 years here in the Boise area. I think every case is mainly the motorcycle rider's fault. If you're paying attention, you can ride out of almost any situation. Mm-hmm. I would say between 80 and 90%.
He makes a point, and he, well, how many, 80% he said?
80 to 90%. And he goes on, the motorcyclists that ride out of control and do just stupid things, they are the statistics. I have had my share of close calls and always rode away from it, and that would be 100% me and my skill and ability to ride, which is a huge factor. I see women and men that have no business riding a bike.
Yes.
They have zero skill,
yep,
and that's what keeps you alive, your skill. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of what he said, and you can ride out of a lot of stuff, but
that guy.
Even more important is not to ride into it in the first place.
But that guy waiting at the light and lady comes up screeching behind if she'd have plowed into him.
Oh, yeah. See ya.
I mean, it would take some serious skill to get out of that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, like none. I mean, I remember Tam and I rented a car in Phoenix one time, and we'd been in the car like 5 minutes. We're going to turn into a mall parking lot, and we could hear this, you know, and the guy just hitting the brakes, and he went right by us in the other lane, hit the car that was in front of us.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. But there was nothing we could have done. We couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, and this is what police tell guys this all the time, where they say, like, I don't need a seatbelt or I don't need this because I'm a careful driver. And he says, yeah, you think everyone is?
And if you've watched for a long time, you know they're not.
Yeah.
Let's go to Randy at Magic Valley. Randy.
Yeah, I've been riding I started riding about 6-7 years ago, and I didn't even really know just how much I was going to love it. And now I've got some beautiful bikes. It just turned into a passion. But every time you get on the bike, I don't wear a helmet, and I don't want to wear a helmet, and I have a certain way I do it, and I wear a fleece mask over my face, and it covers my ears so I don't have wind noise. But, you know, you're right there next to the ground, and there's times when you're passing people, you're going 100, and easy. And you shut her back down and drive the speed limit. But everywhere you go, whether or not you're driving through Boise or through on the freeway or down a two-lane highway or out in the country where there's crossroads, and, you know, you've got to pay it. You know that you could be flattened at any moment. And, you know, you have to have confidence, and you have to be positive, and you've got to know that there's – anybody could, you know, I've had people who didn't even look.
Oh,
they're texting, and I drive up next to their window, and the ones I can see in, and I point at them and say, I think they know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, I have sons that ride, and we ride, and sometimes we're like, we rode to California this year and back, and most of the ride was in the rain, and it was treacherous.
Wow.
And, it was no fun, but, yeah, you know, you got to be wise, and you can be very agile. But,
yes.
Yeah, it's a risk, but it's also the most thrilling thing I do. I'll hang up.
All right, thanks, Randy. And I loved it, too. I rode for about 40 years, and
wow.
I just loved it. But there's got to be too much traffic, and I didn't love it that much.
And that could be. I don't know why.
Boy, in the old days, 40 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know why motorcycle deaths would go from 0 to 8 in 1 year. It could, I mean.
That's what started this whole thing.
Yeah, it could be just a coincidence. Because in 2016 in Boise, there were 0 deaths. This is in the Boise Guardian today.
Right.
And BoiseGuardian.com. There were 0 motorcycle deaths in 2016, and there have been 8 in 2017.
Yep. I noticed that Dave
Frazier that writes that.
That most of the fatalities in Boise this year have been motorcyclists.
Yeah.
There
have been 14 fatalities in the city.
More than
from vehicle accidents and 2 from car accidents, or 2 have been people in cars, and 8 have been on motorcycles.
Yeah. four times as many.
Phew.
Unbelievable stuff. All right, we'll be back with more of your phone calls. It's 944.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
I'm sorry, Sunday came and trashed me out again. I was only having fun, wasn't hurting anyone. And we all enjoyed the weekend for a change. I was stranded in the combat zone. I walked through Bedford Stuy alone. Even rode my motorcycle in the rain. And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right.
All right, Billy Joel riding his motorcycle in the rain. As some of our listeners did. Let's go back to the phones and Kelly of Boise. Kelly, good morning.
Morning, Paul J. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. I just got out of the gym and was heading to work and catching some of your conversation on the motorcycle riding. And for me, I grew up racing motocross.
Mm-hmm.
And As a young man in the early 20s, bought what they called a crotch rocket. It was a Honda Interceptor.
Yep.
And you know, I had a lot of friends getting some scary wrecks, and I ended up getting out of riding a motorcycle for quite a few years. And my father bought a Harley Davidson, and I ended up buying one. And so I've had three different Harleys now for, oh gosh, probably going on about 14 years. And for me, the scariest thing nowadays on the road is the texting and driving.
Mm. Yeah.
I own a car interior company, and so I constantly go from Boise to places like Corwin Ford, Peterson Stampede Dodge, Kendall.
Sure.
So I'm on the freeway. I was on the freeway the other day and watching a girl. She had a toothbrush in her left hand, must have been driving with her knees and texting in the right hand. And I believe that until they make the laws in this state, I think texting and driving is really worse than even drunk driving.
Well, it is because of the reaction time.
Well, you know, and the reason I say that, too, and obviously I've made mistakes as a young man. Maybe you have as well.
Sure, no question.
You know, maybe you had a couple of drinks, and but you're at that point you're going, oh, okay, I got to really go the speed limit. I got to walk. You know, you're paying attention. You're driving with both hands, going, I got to get home. A texter's not even paying attention to anything.
True.
But on a motorcycle for me, and having those skills from racing motorcycles, I ride a street bike the same way that I ride a dirt bike that everybody on that track and on the road is trying to run me over.
Yeah.
And so having said that, for me, I'm a real big front brake guy. If you can learn how to use your front brake on a street bike, you can stop on a dime, and you use your back brake going fast, your back end's going to slide out. You're going to be out of control. You're not going to be able to stop fast. But you need to come up to every light and look both ways. Rather you have the green light or not, I just think you have to be such a defensive driver. But I do agree with a couple of the callers who are, you know, there's a lot of young kids out there that go out and buy a bike. They get a little money. They think it looks cool. And they go way too fast, and they zag back and forth in and out of traffic, and you just can't ride like that. You're looking for trouble. You know, the guys that go out on their Sunday drive and hit four or five bars and get a few drinks in them, and they're going to Idaho City or doing the Loman Loop, they're going too fast around a corner, and you have to have such respect for these bikes. Like my Harley Davidson's a big street glide, and it's a fairly heavy bike, but I'm a good sized guy. I'm about 6'4", 230. But I just, like I said, I really enjoy riding. But I also, I really don't go past the speed limit. I mean, every once in a while I take off at a stop sign and, you know, get on it a little bit just for fun, get up to 45, back it down to 35.
Sure.
Like the one guy was saying, oh, I pass people going 100. I can tell you I've owned a Harley-Davidson now for, like I told you, 14, 15 years. I don't know that I've ever gone 100 miles an hour yet.
I went 100 one time and went under an overpass, and that was it. That was it for me.
Did you hit ice?
No.
Oh.
The wind changes. The air, changes. It jams you up pretty good, makes you realize you're being stupid here.
Appreciate the call.
Yep. Thanks for the call.
Dave of Boise says the guy who admitted to going 100 miles per hour is part of the problem. There is no circumstance, as fun as it may be, that you need to be traveling that fast on a bike unless you are on a track. And I guess his circumstance was just simply fun.
Yeah.
Or passing, he said.
Let's go to Bill from Boise. Bill, you got a minute?
Hello, gentlemen. Yeah, this last this summer, as you both know, I'm blind, and my friend was coming down Fairview, and she said, it's a good thing you can't see. And I said, why is that? And she said, this gal must weigh 250, 300 pounds, had a tank top, short shorts, and flip-flops, riding a 125 Honda. And... come on, short shorts and flip flops, riding a motorcycle. He's asking for trouble.
Yep, you are. You can't do that. You're just not respecting anything, and you're gonna tear your feet up. I mean, it's just stupid. Plus the fact that if she was that big, she should be on at least 250.
My friend doesn't look like she's riding a tricycle. All right, guys, have a good one.
Thanks. You do need equipment. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Mike of Boise says the 8 motorcyclists are dead because they were speeding and using drugs or alcohol. Check it out. Every case.
Is that true?
Speeding will kill them. I'm not sure. I'm just reading that for the first time. But yeah. Mike must have checked it out.
Yeah.
And Dave, again, of Boise, says watching out for everybody else is part of the skill I am referring to. I would bet I could find a way to remove myself from danger. In the scenario Paul referred to, you have to be looking 360 degrees around you at all mm-hmm. times. You have to be able to predict what traffic is going to do. I mean, that's terrific if you can actually do it.
Well, yeah, and you do need the people around you to have a clue, have a brain. All right, that'll do it for today. Open phones Friday tomorrow. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind right here. See you bright and early in the morning. Have a good day.